Welcome to the International Claim Association, ICA, Educational Podcast Series. This podcast series is part of a professional development curriculum designed for ICA members and insurance professionals. This is a tale of two foreign death claims. Both involve deaths occurring far from the borders of the United States in places not frequented by U.S. citizens. Both involved claims that were denied because the proof of death was less than satisfactory to the insurance companies, and both resulted in lawsuits brought by unhappy beneficiaries. That is where the similarities end. In one of the cases, the beneficiary was successful in court and recovered benefits. In the other case, the beneficiary lost. What was the difference? This podcast was created by Kent Coppedge, who practices law in the Atlanta office of Fox Rothschild. Kent represents life, health, and disability insurers in claims litigation, including claims arising beyond the borders of the United States. This podcast looks at two interesting foreign death claims that took decidedly different paths.
In 1980, Minh Thu and his wife, Quan Le, came to the United States from Vietnam with their children and settled in Boston. They ran various businesses, but began to have financial difficulty in the early 1990s. Between 1991 and 1992, Quan Le took out insurance policies on her life with benefits totaling $3.5 million. The annual premiums for those policies amounted to tens of thousands of dollars. She also had existing insurance from policies taken out in the 80s, totaling $375,000. In January of 1993, Quan Le traveled to Ho Chi Minh City for the stated purpose of exploring opportunities to import beer to Vietnam. After a stay in Ho Chi Minh City, Quan Le traveled to a town on the Cambodian border, where she checked into a hotel at 9 p.m. on January 25th. She called her husband, Minh Thu, and told him that she would be traveling to Cambodia for a few days. The following day, Quan Le left the hotel and has not been seen alive since. Minh Thu traveled to Vietnam in February and in March 1993 in search of Quan Le. During his first trip, Minh Thu says that he was told by officials in Vietnam that Quan Le had been killed by bandits in Cambodia. During his second trip, a police officer from Vietnam traveled to Cambodia and returned with documents, including a report that a female body had been discovered by local villagers on January 27th. The documents included a death certificate identifying Quan Le and a report that the body had been cremated. In April 1993, Minh Thu's son took the Cambodian documents to the town clerk of Milton, Massachusetts, who provided a local death certificate. That document, along with the Cambodian documents, were provided to the insurance companies in support of claims for death benefits under the policies. The insurance company sent an investigator to Vietnam and also requested that the U.S. Embassy in Cambodia investigate the death. An embassy official advised that the Cambodian documents did not comport with usual Cambodian practice. In addition, the author of the Cambodian reports informed the embassy that he had never seen the body, but relied simply on the reports of local farmers. The insurance companies ultimately denied Minh Thu's claims for benefits. A lawsuit was filed against the insurance companies in Massachusetts. More about that later. Meanwhile, a few years later in Mogadishu, Somalia, Abdullahi Mohammed was shot and killed while sitting in a coffee shop in July 1997. His wife, Falad Mohammed, was the beneficiary of mortgage life and accidental death insurance, which the couple had taken out in 1989 in connection with the purchase of their home. Mrs. Mohammed submitted various documents, including a death certificate issued by the High Islamic Court of the Banadir region of Somalia, a certificate from a local physician stating that Mr. Mohammed had died on July 1, 1997 due to gunshot wounds, and another declaration of death from the Islamic Court stating that Mr. Mohammed had died due to a gunshot wound. At the time of Mr. Mohammed's alleged death, Somalia did not have a national government or legal system, nor did it have a functional judicial system. The situation was one of great civil unrest and anarchy. In addition to the documents from the doctor and the Islamic court, Mrs. Muhammad submitted affidavits from persons attesting that they had attended the insured's funeral and attesting as to the manner of his death. She also submitted newspaper articles concerning Mr. Muhammad's death, as well as information concerning his plane ticket to Somalia. The insurance company tried to verify the information provided by Mrs. Muhammad, but was unable to find an investigator who would agree to travel to Somalia. The company did not contact the physician or any family members in Somalia. The insurance company denied Mrs. Muhammad's claim on the grounds that she had not provided verifiable proof of her husband's death. Like Mentu, Mrs. Muhammad filed a lawsuit in Virginia after her claim for benefits was denied. Mentu lost his lawsuit. Mrs. Muhammad won hers. Other than the fact that different courts were involved, how does one account for the different outcomes? The court in Mentu's case did not allow the case to go to trial, but granted summary judgment in favor of the insurance companies. The court concluded that the Cambodian death certificate and related documents were not admissible evidence in court. Specifically, those documents did not satisfy an evidentiary statute that allowed foreign government documents to be self-authenticating if they include certain certifications from appropriate officials. Nor would the court allow for consideration of the death certificate obtained from the clerk of Milton, Massachusetts. According to the appellate court, which later affirmed the original court's decision, the Milton certificate was simply the Cambodian documents in disguise. The same problem could have existed for Mrs. Muhammad. In her case, the death certificate from Somalia also did not meet the self-authentication requirements. The court nonetheless refused to conclude that Mrs. Muhammad's proof was insufficient. There were differences, of course, in the specific language of the policies issued to Fuang Li and those issued to the Muhammads. For example, the policies issued to Fuang Li required due proof of loss, a phrase that commonly appears in insurance policies. The court in the Muhammad case purported to distinguish that case from the Mentu case on the ground that the policies issued to the Muhammads did not contain the phrase due proof of loss. But the court acknowledged that as a condition precedent to the right to bring the suit, the claimant must produce sufficient preliminary proof of death such that when introduced at trial, standing alone and without further proof, it would support a verdict for the claimant. In other words, the court recognized the need for proof of death that was admissible in evidence. While variations in policy language may be crucial, the difference in the results in these cases more likely comes down to important factual differences in the circumstances surrounding the claims. In the Mentu case, for example, the evidence showed that a large amount of insurance, more than $3 million, had been taken out shortly before Fuang Li disappeared. And those policies with annual premiums exceeding $60,000 were taken out when Mentu's family was in the midst of financial difficulty. The court was skeptical of such a purchase under the circumstances. By contrast, the policies covering Mr. Muhammad had been taken out in connection with the purchase of the Muhammad's home in 1989, many years before the insured's death, and were in relatively modest amounts, together totaling less than $175,000. The insurance companies also developed evidence of other suspicious facts in the Mentu case. For example, there was evidence of checks purportedly signed by Fuang Li after her disappearance. Mentu maintained that he and other family members had signed Fuang Li's name to the checks. No such suspicious facts were present in the Muhammad case. The court in Mentu's case also noted that there was no eyewitness evidence that Fuang Li ever actually went to Cambodia. In the Muhammad case, the sister of Mrs. Muhammad traveled from Somalia to Virginia to testify in court that she saw the insured's dead body at his home, that she had helped with the funeral arrangements, and that she had attended his funeral and witnessed the burial of his body. There was no evidence to contradict this testimony, and the court found it credible. The court in Muhammad agreed that a genuine controversy had existed concerning whether Mrs. Muhammad could recover under the policies. As a result, the court declined to award any extra contractual damages to her. At the end of the day, however, the court refused to allow the difficulties of confirming a death in Somalia to weigh against the beneficiary's recovery. The court noted that while the circumstances on the ground in Somalia created something of a predicament for the insurance company, the fact that no investigators would go to Somalia could not be utilized as a basis for arguing that the beneficiary had not established the death. The claims of Mintu and Mrs. Muhammad illustrate the importance of the facts and circumstances surrounding foreign death claims and how they impact the credibility of the claims. Policy terms and legal questions, such as those dealing with the evidentiary value of foreign documents, are important and may well be dispositive in any given case. In the end, however, the outcome of the claim in court may well depend upon whether the decision maker, whether a judge or a jury, actually believes that the death occurred. What are the implications for a claims evaluator faced with a foreign death claim, where the fact of the death is a legitimate question? Should an investigator be hired in a foreign country to investigate the claim, or even sent to the country in question? Although the claims of Mintu and Mrs. Muhammad were not insignificant, it is not uncommon for foreign death claims to arise under policies with much smaller benefits. This may be due to the ease of applying for small dollar life insurance policies online without the necessity of interacting with an agent or subjecting the proposed insurer to an in-person medical exam. Or it may be due to the cynical calculation that an insurance company is less likely to resist or carefully investigate a small dollar claim arising in a far-flung country. Assuming that the economics work, an investigator on the ground may be invaluable. And of course, stateside investigators with knowledge of the country at issue may be able to provide very helpful assistance without leaving their offices. In the Mintu case, which involved multiple insurance companies, the companies were able to pool resources and jointly retain an investigator. With a foreign death claim involving a small dollar policy, there's a good chance that your company is not the only insurer which has issued a policy on the life of the insured and is now facing a claim for benefits. The level of information available from computer networks, including worldwide social media, can play a role as well. Verification of the validity of apostilles, which are issued by foreign authorities and which sometimes are attached to foreign death certificates, can often be accomplished online with relative ease. It is important to recognize, however, that the apostille only certifies the fact that the government document at issue has been signed by an appropriate official. The apostille itself is no guarantee of the validity of the information contained in the foreign document. If, despite the company's best efforts, a claim winds up in litigation, then there is a role for counsel in discovering additional facts and circumstances surrounding the purported death. This can be accomplished through conventional discovery mechanisms, such as depositions, and, if necessary, the issuance of subpoenas to obtain the claims records submitted by the beneficiary to other insurance companies. In addition, once an insurance claim is a public record because it is the subject of a lawsuit, counsel may also be less constrained in his or her ability to collaborate with counsel for other insurers who have a common interest in discovering the truth behind the foreign death claim. As the Mintu and Muhammad cases prove, no matter the ultimate outcome, foreign death claims present some of the most interesting facts and issues encountered in our industry. And in a world ever shrinking due to technological advances and greater mobility, it is likely that insurers will face an increasing number of life and accidental death claims arising out of jurisdictions overseas. Thank you for listening.
We hope you have enjoyed today's ICA podcast. To learn more about ICA and future podcasts, please visit www.claim.org.